Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, so I'll just wear this stole today. Okay, so we are on, can you hear me? We are on page, oh, thanks. Okay, is that better? Can you hear me? Testing, can you hear me? Okay, great. We're on page 4, volume 4, September 20th, 1922. At the end of this, you could come up and pick up your water, if you wish, and your oil, and your salt, and any trinkets you may have left up here. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay. So here we are on volume 14, September 20th, 1922. I was in the fear that my sweet Jesus would not come. Hello? How about this? Can you hear this? Let's drive the demons away. I was in the fear of that my sweet Jesus would not come, more so since I felt that my sufferings were milder, as though asleep. So I said to myself, what if I saw is true, according to the other times, in the order to give course to divine justice, he probably shall not come. And so I shall not let me share in his pains. Are we there? How about you? Anything yet? You got to turn it up a little louder. How about now? Can you hear me now? Okay, is it unplugged? This is your job. It's all your fault. We were talking about that on the way over. How everything is everybody's fault but their own. Okay, how about now? Is this better? How about now? Is this better? Can you hear me now? See, this isn't on. This one's not on. It's down. Somebody twisted it down. The devil. I haven't got my crucifix up here. That's the reason. Okay, I'm dressed for the occasion. How about now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? See, there's something not right. This one's not on. Is this plugged in? I got it on full blast.
He was right off of the wall.
There you go. See what happens when you get dressed properly? Okay, so where were we? Okay, and Jesus coming back and seeing me very oppressed told me, my daughter Louisa, do not fear. Don't you remember that you occupy a double office, one a victim and the other greater, of living in my divine will. So this is the office that Jesus wants to also give to us. To give to back to me the complete glory of all creation. Therefore, if you are not in the office of one together with me, I shall keep you in the other office. So if Jesus says to her, if you're not suffering, don't worry about it. You're still in the office, he says, basically, one with me of living in the divine will. See, now this gives us great hope. All of us are suffering, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. All of us go through this great sufferings that we're going through with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, financial, spiritual, any kind of suffering. And Jesus says, I want you to understand I'm giving you a greater office than suffering. So this is what we have to understand. No matter what we're going through, there is a great, great blessing that he's going to give us, which he has already begun to give us, and that is living in the divine will, one with Louisa. Now, none of us are living there completely. We're there until we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, and sinning. So he says, the greater office is living in the divine will to give back to God the complete glory of all of creation. Therefore, he says, at the most, there might be a pause of the suffering with regard to the office of victim. Therefore, do not fear. Calm yourself because we are living. See, this is the thing. No matter what we're going through, Jesus is saying, are you willing to let me breathe in your breathing? Are you willing to let me beat in your heart beating? Are you willing to let me be the Lord of your life? And we can't forget that, even if we're suffering or not suffering. Volume 14, September 24th, 1922. How can I clothe you, Jesus? I have nothing. And Jesus, indeed, you can clothe me. You, Louisa, have my whole divine life in your power. Do you see what Jesus is calling us to possess? Can I have a piece of tape? Thank you. Thanks. This is so much fun. Okay. What's he doing? All right, here we go. I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody knows what I'm doing. My mother used to say to me, she says, you are trying. In more ways than one. Okay. You're trying. Oh, my God. All right, hold it. So Jesus is asking us to clothe him because he's clothing us. He's clothing us in divinity. Absorb it within you and then release it. And you shall make me, Jesus, the most beautiful garment, a garment of heaven, a garment divine. See, it's not, this is another reason why, you know, the baby Jesus is not just for Christmas. The baby Jesus is, we are to hold him. Jesus says, I will accept it as you're actually holding me. When we venerate the cross, when we kiss the cross, Jesus says, I will accept it as if you were actually kissing me. So what happens is, and this is why he says, absorb it within you and release it. Let me make me the most beautiful garment, a garment of heaven, a garment divine. See, it's Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. We have to understand this. It's already here. It's within us. And Jesus says, I want that to be manifested. When this happens, Jesus says, all the world will rejoice because finally, souls are living the way God has originally planned to live, with that preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. God wants us to begin to live this divine life. And he says, we will clothe him and he will clothe us. Oh, how warmed I shall be. I shall clothe you with the garment of my divine will. And then we will be clothed with one single uniform. This is why I, God, want it from you, so that I, God, may give it to you with divine justice. If you clothe me, it is fair that I clothe you to repay you for what you have done for me. All the evil in mankind, all the evil that man has lost is the seed. What they've lost is the seed of my divine will. Therefore, mankind does nothing but cover himself with the greatest crimes, which degrade him and make him act like a madman. Oh, how many follies they are about to commit. Fair penalty, since they want to have their own self as God. That's what's happening. And Jesus is saying to us, let me clothe you in divinity. You clothe me in divinity, and I will clothe you in divinity. So again, our love for Jesus has to be great. He says this is clothing from heaven. Now, if we are wearing the scapular, we're already wearing clothing from heaven. That's why we wear the scapular. I broke my back twice. I've said this before. Each time I was not wearing my scapular. It protects you. It's a protection. The devil doesn't want you to wear it because he wants to harm you. He wants to hurt you. It's the same thing here. If you're wearing the scapular, this is all Our Lady said today. The reason we said Mass today on First Saturday is to say to the Lord, I'm so sorry for the blasphemies against your beautiful mother, the Theotokos, Mother of God. And what does she say? She only says three things. Pray the rosary, wear the scapular, go to First Saturday Masses. That's all she asks. So if you're wearing the scapular, you already have begun to wear the clothing of heaven. God is going to scapular. He's going to bless you with a scapular. Now, Jane, would you stand up? This is victim Jane. She's wearing a scapular. Jane, could you please stand? Oh, there she is. Oh no, wait a minute. Jane, would you please stand? Oh, you are standing. Okay. Okay. Now, she's showing you this is the scapular that you can have when you become a Benedictine and you can be buried in it. So this is probably the last time Jane's going to wear it until she's buried in it. But it's a little gift that Mother Gabrielli offers to us. If you want it, now where's Sylvia? Sylvia, stand up, Sylvia. There's it. She doesn't want to stand. Okay, never mind, Sylvia. Okay, tell Sylvia and she'll put your name and address. There's Sylvia. You could tell she's Sylvia by her silver hair. Okay, Sylvia. Okay. Oh, yeah, and then before the 3 o'clock hour, anybody who wants to become third member of Benedictines, just let me know. Okay, so calm yourself. Do not fear. Calm yourself. Volume 14, September 24th, 1920. Oh, I read that. Alrighty. Volume 14, September 27th, 1922. My daughter Louisa, do you want to know in what struggle I find myself? My love pushes me to the point of using violence to make me come to you. While my justice almost forbids me, because men are about to reach the excesses of evil and do not deserve the mercy which flows upon them. When I come to let you share in my pains, which they themselves inflict upon me, you must know, and this is a command from Jesus, that the leaders of the nations are conspiring to destroy the peoples and to plot trouble against my church. To obtain the intent, they want to use the help of foreign powers to the point in which the world finds itself is terrible. Therefore, pray and be patient. Now, again, that was 1922. We are in a far worse condition today, almost 100 years later. Jesus is saying to us, pray in the divine will. Learn how to pray the rounds. Pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 14, October 3rd, 1922. Even more, I tell you, Louisa, I want the confessor, the priest, acting together with me as spectator and depository of the pains. I, God, make you, Louisa, suffer, so that the priest, too, may share in the good. And having him with me, I may excite him more in the faith and infuse in him divine light and divine love to make the priest comprehend the truths which I keep manifesting to you, Louisa. So again, it's first given to the priests, and then from the priests, they give it to the laity. Jesus says to Louisa, I give you this first bread. And he talks to the priests, and he says to the priests through Louisa, you feed a people a stale bread, a bread that is hard to swallow, a bread that is hard to digest. Jesus says, when the divine will begins to reign, can I have another piece of tape? Sorry about that. I really feel bad about it. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, there we are. I'm sorry. Okay. Oops. See, the priests have to have this first. And unfortunately today, many people take the divine will and Protestantize it. What I mean by that is they try to give this first bread to the lay people. And Father Bucci says it's as foolish as a lay person standing at the altar and saying, this is my body, this is my blood. It must come from the priests. And again, that's the only thing the archbishop asks. You can have the writings, he said. Read the writings. He says, but have a priest. If you have a question, you can ask the priest. Now, a number of well-intentioned lay people, you know, because of zeal, explain the divine will in not too inaccurate way. Okay? This is the reason for the priest. Jesus says very clearly it will be given to the priest, as we see here. And then from that, excuse me. You have no idea what that is? Okay. Is it the mic? We're having a great time here. Oh, that's right. Thank you. There you go. You see, the demons have to obey every word that the priest says. And that's why I remember one time I was at a ordination and a person, a possessed person, came down the aisle screaming as this person's being ordained. And, you know, terrifying everybody. I'm laughing because the demons can't, they have to obey the priest. They must obey the priest. And here everybody's terrifying. Another point, I remember this possessed person came down on the aisle and these people are hanging onto the cross, and as the person comes, the cross is getting farther and farther away. These are the altar boys. And, you know, the reason they're terrified is they know they're going to spend eternity in hell. They're scared to death. And when we scream, when we're upset, when we get frightened, when we get terrified, we're only falling into their hands. You know, we have to get to the point of understanding that they are no longer have any part of us. And they'll cause a lot of trouble. But what Jesus says to Louisa and to us in volume 15, he says very clearly, as my mother crushed the head of Lucifer, you now, Louisa, will put the final kaput on him. And that's us too. The evil must be under our feet. Sin must be under our feet. If it's in our house, and this is why you got to go through your house too, throwing out stuff that is not of God. I remember this one house that I was in. They had these little imps, you know, these little teeny like little devils. And this lady says, "Oh, I really like these," and I said, "Well, they're not really honoring anybody. I mean, except for you know who." I said, "Why don't you get rid of them?" So she threw them in the garbage. And it was basically that day her son called out of nowhere and said, you know those imps that are in your house? I'd like them. And she went, oh, my God. I just threw them away. She goes, I got rid of them. He got furious with her. Now, how did that happen? They want to be honored. So there's certain things in your house, Buddhas. There's certain things in your house that are not of God, and you really have to get rid of them. I remember my sister came back from Hawaii, and she had these little things from Hawaii, these little gods. And I basically smashed them all and threw them all out. I just said, you can't have this here. Ouija boards, you can't have it in your house. Anything that's demonic. See, Scripture says, so you read Psalms, Psalm 100, it says, do not let the fornicator, the adulterer, the murderer, the liar, the thief into your house. That comes through the television continuously. And that can't be there anymore. They can't let them into your house. You can't let that spirit into your house. And so therefore, the more that you put under your feet, the more you're going to be freed. And our Lord is waiting. He just sits back and he goes, what do you want to honor? Do you want to honor me or my mother? Do you want to honor these, you know, really gods, these wooden gods, these demonic gods that you have in your house? So again, God is really freeing us, which is really wonderful. And a lot of people get attached to these things. Well, I got that in 1932 when I was in Japan. You know, well, get rid of it now. Maybe your life will be a little happier. It's get rid of all that is not of God. Now, I told you about the one house I went into to bless the house, and a beautiful mansion. Yet they come out with two little statues of Jesus and Mary, plastic statues. When I said, "Do you have any images of Our Lady, you know, Our Lord? Do you want your house consecrated to the Immaculate Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus?" "Oh yeah, yeah." And I went, "You call?" And I felt bad. I said, "You call yourself Catholic? You spent more money in this house, and here you come out with these two tiny little plastic things that probably were given to you for free by the church." I mean, when we say we love Jesus, when we say I love Mary, you know, we should make sure that she and our Lord are honored. You know, outside the house, inside the house, but they should be honored. It's not just a little trinket. You know, it's really, I think that's what Jesus is trying to help us do. So Jesus is saying, and now I completely lost me. Okay, he's now saying about the priests. Okay, excuse me. I just had a sandwich. It's my stomach. It's keep on rattling. Oh, let me try this one. Okay. So it says, I want the priest to be the spectator and the depository of the pains I, God, make you suffer. That I may excite him more in the faith and infuse in him the divine light, the divine love, to make the priest comprehend the truths that I, God, keep manifesting to you, Louisa. On hearing this, I remained oppressed even more. When, while I prayed for mercy, I found justice and unshakability on the part of Jesus. And, oh, God, what pain. In seeing the more afflicted, he added, "My daughter, Louisa, this is the love you have for me. Times are so very sad, and the troubles which are coming are too horrifying. And when you are not able to prevent the whole course of my justice by yourself, the two of you, the priest and Louisa, shall be able to do it. And you yourself should ask me to make you suffer. Therefore, resign yourself also in this and be patient. Your Jesus wants it, and that's enough." See, what's coming, as Jesus says, are too horrifying. What's coming, he can't even talk about it. He says, but if you suffer, Louisa, he says, everything will work out. We're going to see Louisa's suffering that she has gone through all her life. She did for us. And that's what's so astonishing about Louisa. She's did this for us. Volume 14, October 6, 1922. Check as many lives of the saints you want or the books of doctrine. In none of them shall you find the prodigies of my holy divine will operate in the soul of the creature and the creature operating in the divine will. So he says, this has not been seen. Why? It's not new. It's the oldest thing. It's the gift that God gave to Adam, the gift that Adam lost. It's the gift that Jesus lived, the gift that Mary lived. And no saint ever possessed this. That's why when we look at the lives of the saints, and again, the saints are beautiful and holy and great, but they explain to us how they loved Jesus, how they loved Mary. Let's look at St. Louis de Montfort. 300 years ago this year, we recognize him. Let's look at St. Maximian Kolbe, the great love he had for the Blessed Mother. 100 years ago this year, he started the Immaculata, and that was because of the march of the Masons at the Vatican saying, in the year 2017, we will have the Vatican. That's this year. And as again, it's another 300 years since the Masons started. This year is the 100th anniversary of Israel being promised to become a nation. It's the 50th anniversary, the Jubilee year of Israel having Jerusalem as the capital. Last year was our Jubilee year. This year, on September 23rd, we're going to see in the sky what John the Evangelist saw in Revelation 12. This is a very important year. And we're not studying about divine justice for just by happenstance. Well, we have nothing else to do. Jesus wants us to do this. He wants us to understand what is coming. And he's saying the ones that are going to help the world get through this are the little children of the holy divine will. We have a grave responsibility and duty before God. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. We have to do that. That's volume 1 through volume 10. It's not just to live in the divine will, which you find in volume 11 through volume 19. It's to now begin to possess the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. This is what Jesus is expecting of us. This is not even St. Honorable de Francia had this. He died before 20 through 36 was finished. Jesus has given this to us. He wants us to clothe him in divinity. He wants to clothe us in divinity. We have to understand the time we're living in. So Jesus is really telling us there's nothing to worry about, nothing to be fearful, and nothing to be anxious about. It basically, like I said, we're going into an amusement park, and he's going to say, I want you to get on this ride, and I want you to get on that ride, and I want you to get on that ride. And it will be exhilarating, let me just put it that way. But Jesus wins. Jesus is victorious. Our Lady, her Immaculate Heart, triumphs. This is in the little children of the holy divine will. This is a glorious time to be alive. All the saints wanted to live at this time. Why? They knew something spectacular was going to happen. They didn't know what it was going to be. St. Louis de Montfort says they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. This is what God is waiting for. He's waited for us to be linked to Louisa, to really bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, check the lives of the saints. You're not going to find the prodigy of the divine will anywhere. You're not going to find the creatures living in the divine will anywhere. At the most, you'll find the saints with resignation. You'll find the saints with union of wills. But not one of them shall you find the divine will operating in a soul and Louisa in it. But see, this is Louisa's gift. He's giving it to us. He says, this is what I did for little Louisa. Do you want it? And all that we have to do is say, fiat. Yes, Lord, let it be done to me as you say. Watch what God is going to do. This means at the time had not come in which my goodness was to call Louisa to live in the sublime state. Even the way I make you pray, Louisa, cannot be found in anyone else. This is why as you read the volumes, as you study the volumes, as you pray the rounds, you're praying the way Jesus prayed. You're not praying the way the saints prayed. You're praying the way Mary prayed. You're not praying the way the saints prayed. Again, they're good and holy and saintly, those prayers. But I want to pray the way Jesus prayed. I want to pray the way Mary prayed. And Jesus says, here it is. It's right at your disposal. This means, Jesus says very clearly, even the way I make you pray cannot be found in any saint before. Therefore, be attentive. My divine justice demands it. My divine love is delirious. So my divine wisdom disposes everything in order to obtain the intent. It is the rights. It is the glory of creation that we, Triune God, want from you, Louisa, and the little children linked to you, Louisa. God wants this. And it's not your family, it's not your friends, it's not your neighbors, it's not your co-workers, it's not your parishioners. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how much you want them to have the divine will, they do not want it. You have to understand that. They do not want it. Jesus says, I want you to want it. And what does he choose? Who does he choose? He chooses us, the ignorant, the little, he says, basically the bottom of the barrel, mush. Nothing. You don't even look like an apple. You're just mush. That's what's at the bottom of the barrel. You don't even look human. I mean, when you think about it, Jesus says, I want to use you. Why? To prove to the world it's not a human thing. He wants us to share in divinity. God is really asking us, would you be willing to give your fiat? That's all he says. Would you? And when we say yes, then he says, get out of my way and watch what I'm going to do. Volume 14, November 8th, 1922. My daughter Louisa, the pains and the offenses that creature gives me creatures give me are so many that I, God, cannot take it anymore. The nations are banding together to enter the field with new wars. Did I not tell you that the wars have not ended, and that the peace was a false peace and an apparent peace? But peace without God is impossible. It was a peace that did not come from divine justice, therefore it could not last. The leaders of these times are true incarnate devils who are banding together to do evil and to cast confusion, to slaughters, to wars amongst the peoples. And while Jesus was saying this, I could hear the crying of mothers, the thundering of cannons, the alarms in all the cities. But I hope that Jesus shall placate himself, so they shall all remain in peace. That was 1922, 100 years ago. This is what they're doing again. Do you think the surge of troops going to the Ukraine is by chance? They're planning. They're plotting. You heard the candidate that lost. She said, we will go to war with Russia. They had planned it before the election. And now they're cursing Putin. But let's look at Putin. Here is a man who doesn't want abortion. Here is a man who doesn't want homosexuality. Here is a man who wants the church to be important again. Here is a man who does not want the invasion of Muslims. Then let's look at our last president. He wanted everything that Putin doesn't want. Okay, which is the wrong side? When you really look at it, Putin, you know, spends time, you know, he says he was baptized, his mother baptized him. He spends time pushing the Orthodox Church to sing to Jesus. I'm not, you know, saying that he hasn't done wrong things. But let's look at our last president. You know, it's war is very close. And I'm not saying we're going to go to war. I'm just saying this is how people live. Look at your families. Look at your neighbors. Look at the inner cities. I mean, come on. We're getting what we deserve. We're killing the babies. God says, okay, that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Again, our Lord loves us very, very much. And he says, with the children of the divine will, we are the ones that's going to bring soothing to the body of Christ. We are the ones, with Louisa, who are going to bring true peace to the world. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. I mean, let's really look. And I'll tell you how sad you're going to be this summer, July 4th, when you hear what we have planned in the United States, in the church, for the last 6 years. It's very sad. It's very sad. Our job is to really say, I want to listen to Jesus. I want to be drawn to Jesus. So this is what he tells us in volume 15. Here then is the reason why we, the triune God, constituted Mary, mother and queen of the holy divine will, mother and queen of everyone. Because when we, God, operate, we, triune God, do it with reason. We do it with divine reason, divine wisdom, divine justice. And Mary, the Blessed Mother, never gave life to her human will, but our divine will was always intact in the Blessed Mother. What a powerful magnet our divine will was, dwelling on earth, in this newborn queen, the Blessed Mother. No longer did the earth appear alien to us. We, triune God, no longer felt the striking it and making use of our divine justice. We had the power in our will in Mary, this innocent child who blocked our arms, smiled at us from the earth, and turned justice into graces and sweet smile, so much so that unable to resist this sweet enchantment, the eternal word hastened on its course. O prodigy of my divine will! To you everything is due, through you everything is accomplished, and there is no greater prodigy than my divine will dwelling in the soul. Here's the greatest prodigy, the divine will reigning in the Blessed Mother, And now Jesus says, now it's raining in the newborn Louisa. And Jesus is saying, this is what he wants to reign in us. He says very clearly, O prodigy, my divine will. The souls, the little children of the holy divine will who say, let it be done as you say. Jesus says, he is going to dwell within us in a way that the saints would envy. Why? They did not have Louisa. Volume 15, January 16th, 1921. This is the second general turmoil that the nations are preparing, and I, God, shall remain posted at you, Louisa, as though on the lookout to see what they are doing. I have done everything to dissuade them. I have given them light grace, and I called you, Louisa, in a special way during the past months to make you suffer more, that my divine justice, finding an embankment in you, and one more satisfaction in your pains, might let light and grace descend more freely into their minds so as to dissuade them from this second turmoil. But everything has been in vain. The more they unite together, the more discords, hatred, and injustices they fomented, to the point of forcing the oppressed to take up arms to defend themselves. And when it comes to defending the oppressed and justice, also natural, I must concur. More so, since the nations which appear to be victorious succeeded on the base of the most perfidious injustice. So here we see why World War II had to happen. And it's the same thing now. They had the League of Nations in 1917, and it failed. After World War II, they had the United Nations, which is also failing. It can't be done by man. We have to turn back to Jesus. That's the only way it's going to happen. And that's why he's asking us, he's pleading with us to let the divine will reign in us so that Jesus can reign. See, it's St. Bernard talks about that. He says there's three comings of Christ. The first coming is the incarnation. The last coming is the final coming. But there's the middle one where Jesus comes to the earth through us. See, this is the divine will. Jesus, reign in me, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking. You know, the one thing Jesus asked Louisa is make 33 visits to the Holy Eucharist every day. Now, in our mind's eye, we can go to the church that we were baptized in. We can go to the church that we received First Holy Communion in. We can go to the church where we received confirmation. We can go to the church where we were baptized or married in, or the church that we were ordained in, and receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament with a spiritual communion. You could go, if you've been to Israel, you can go to Bethlehem. You can go to Capernaum. You can go to Nazareth, you can go to Jerusalem. If you're in Rome, you could go to the Basilica in Rome, St. Peter's. You can go to the little churches around Rome. Any place you could go, in your mind's eye, making a spiritual communion. If you do this every hour on the hour or every half hour, what is happening is you're not focused on you. You're focused on Jesus. Adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him. How is that going to change your family? You're not going to be there. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin isn't going to be there. Why? Because you're going to be in love with Jesus, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and glorifying him, worshiping him. And when something happens that's tragic and everybody comes running to you, you're going to say, well, fiat, turn to Jesus. And they're going to look at you like you're completely out of your mind. But that's what Jesus is saying. He says, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. So in Volume 15, January 24th, 1923, he says, my beloved daughter, I could take it no more. If justice wants its course, my love too wants to pour itself out and follow its way. This is why I have come out of that horrible sea which the sins of creatures formed around me in order to give field to my love to come to pour myself out with the little daughter of my divine will. You too could not take it anymore. In that horrible sea, I heard the rattle of your agony because of my privation. And as though putting everyone outside, I have run to you to pour out myself out and to let you pour yourself out in love with me so as to give you life again. And while saying this, he squeezed me tightly to himself, and he kissed me, and he placed his hand at my throat, almost to relieve me from the pain that he himself had given me a few days ago, when he strongly pulled my nerves at the place of my heart, which corresponded to my throat. And I remained as though choked, and my sweet Jesus, all love, and wanted me to return to him the kisses, the caresses, the squeezes that he gave me. So here we see Jesus looking at his little daughter. You have to understand this. When Jesus comes to Louisa, it is his little daughter. And where do we see this in Scripture? Abraham with his son Isaac. You have to understand that the sacrifice that Jesus is asking is complete annihilation. And that means he doesn't want the human will to have life anymore. He says, I want the divine will to reign in you. He says, I made the human will for God. God is supposed to dwell in our human will. He said, I made the universe for man. And what Adam did was he threw God out of his human will. And he says, I'm taking charge. And Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to reorder this. You have to understand the sacrifice that Jesus is going through when he sacrifices Louisa. She's doing it for us. This is why Jesus says Louisa is the little mother of the little children of the holy divine will. You have to get to know Louisa. She is spectacular. She is our little mama. Volume 15, March 23rd, 1923. My daughter Louisa, I, God, was the first king of sorrows. And being man and God, I, God, had to centralize everything within me in order to have primacy over everything, even over sorrows. Though my Mama Mary, those of my Mama Mary were nothing other than the reverberations that being reflected in her made her share in all my sorrows. That piercing the Blessed Mother filled Mary with such bitterness and pain that Our Lady felt herself dying at each reverberation of my sorrows. But love sustained her and gave her life again. Therefore, not only for honor, but also by right of justice, Our Lady was the first queen of the immense sea of her sorrows. So we can see this unity that Jesus had with his Blessed Mother, this oneness that Jesus had with Mary. And now he wants to give this oneness to Louisa, and that oneness is also to us. So we'll end there, and you could come up for your oil, your salt, your bells, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.